The main mitzvah of Sukkot, of course, is Basukkot Teishu Shivas Yomim. And the question is, and it's a very practical one, to what extent are we permitted, are we allowed to eat outside the sukkah? And this is especially true with regard to trips. A person goes on a teal, takes a day trip, he's traveling, does he have to sit in the sukkah? We'll see the Gemara in Sukkah, we'll see the Shulchan Aruch, we'll see the Tshuva of Moshe Feinstein. These are some of the very practical issues for Chag HaSukkot that apply, especially in contemporary life. One of the facets of this question would be the issue of, does a person have to build a Sukkah if he finds himself on a trip? Let's begin with the Gemara in Sukkah. We're on Daf Chavav Hamad Aleph, Torah Rabbanim. Holchei drachim bayom, pturim min haSukkah bayom, v'chayovim balayla. Literally, this means travelers during the day are alleviated from the obligation of sitting in Sukkah. That's during the daytime. But nevertheless, they're obligated at night. Presumably, they're not traveling at night, and therefore, they're obligated. And then the Braisa continues, Holchei drachim bayom ubalayla, those who are traveling both by day and by night, pturim and asukah bein bayom ubein balayla. And this Braisa, which tells us that if you're traveling by day and by night, you're exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah both by day and by night, is quoted by the Rif LaHalacha and by the Rambam in Hilchas Sukkah, Perek Vav Halacha Dalet. The Shulchan Aruch also brings this down in our Chaim Siman Tov Resh Mem Se'if Ches, and it would seem quite clearly that this is Halacha L'maisa, that when we're on a trip, we are Holchei Drachim, and therefore we're exempt from the mitzvah of Sukkah. When we're not moving, we're not traveling, then the mitzvah of Sukkah applies. And perhaps what underlies this Halacha is the concept, the overall and fundamental concept of Sukkah, Teshvu Ke'en Taduru, which means that the obligation to live in the Sukkah in every way reflects and corresponds to the way we live in our homes. And just as if we were living in our home, you know, we would sit and eat, but if we're on the road, that's something totally different. Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Sukkah, at the very beginning, Kol shivas yomim tsei midiras keva v'shev bidiras aroi. That during these days of Sukkot, for 7 days, we leave our permanent dwelling and we enter into a temporary dwelling. Shav v'shev bidiras aroi. This is the yisod of the mitzvah. We treat the Sukkah exactly as we treat our own house. And there's no obligation to sit in the sukkah if in that particular situation we would not be living in our home, in our house. And therefore Chazal established a little bit earlier in Masechta Sukkah, on the previous daf, on daf Chaf Hei, Omid Beis, it goes on to Chaf Vav Omid Aleph, that mitztayer is potur min haSukkah. So the principle is live in your sukkah just as you live in your home. So during the rest of the year, if you were going on, for example, a business trip or even a pleasure trip, you would leave your home. So too, during Sukkot, you would leave your Sukkah. So during Chol HaMoed, the Torah is not telling us, well, abstain from traveling. And this is Rashi's Lashon over there in the Sugya. He says, K'shem shekol hashana eino nimna mileches b'derech schora kakol yimos hachag she'eno yontif lo itzrichu hakosuv limnoah. The Torah didn't require that you refrain from going out on a travel, on a trip. You'll find this in many other Rishonim. The Beis Yosef in Tov Resh Mem Sif Ches quotes all these Rishonim. And again, the principle is very simple, very clear. Just as in the case of living at home, you're not restricted and enjoined from traveling, so too within the context of your chiyuv, your obligation to live in the sukkah, you're not enjoined from making a trip and going on to travel. And therefore, the principle is that holchei drachim pturim min haSukkah. And if this be the case, then we're not really saying that you're potter min ha-sukkah, you don't have to sit in the sukkah, there's no heter for sitting outside the sukkah. What we're really saying is that in this case, under this situation, the circumstance on the road, you're not chayev in the mitzvah sukkah. That situation that you find yourself in is not machayev in the mitzvah sukkah. That's how I think we should define this halacha. And therefore, it's very interesting that Rashi, as we said before, speaks about a case of someone who's on a business trip. And that's the example that Rashi gives. And the reason for that Rashi specifies the business trip is he wants us to understand that this chiyuv of sukkah is qualified. But we're not going to just go out of the sukkah and travel for pleasure. Rashi's saying there has to be some need. In Rashi's frame of reference, we're talking about a business need. Although it could be possible that Rashi's just giving one example of a case of somebody who's traveling. And the language of Rashi, let's just read it one more time. K'shein she kol ha-shana einu nimna mimoleches b'derech schora. Rashi may be just giving one example. Actually, it's unclear. We cannot come to any conclusive halacha with regard to someone who goes out on a pleasure trip and it's not a business trip, whether that would also qualify as a reason for one's permission to travel in a way that he won't sit in sukkah. Tosas and other Rishonim quote Rashi. They never mention the fact that Rashi emphasizes that the reason for the trip is because of schora, the derech schora. Rashi is not to be taken literally, it would seem, and limited to a case where there's a pressing need for schora to travel and leave the sukkah. But Rashi would also include any sort of pleasure trip, a tiyul, and so forth and so on, because that too is something that a person would do on a, shall I say, within the context of normal life. So if we assume that Rashi's not coming lafuki, the case of a tiyul that's for pleasure and not for parnasa, and that's why the Rishonim quote him as such, then we would expand this heter for recreational trips, and there would be no need, no obligation, as we said before, to sit in the sukkah. The one who comes along to question this whole thing about trips on sukkahs, as far as I know, he's the first one to do so, is Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe. And he wants to limit the heter of leaving on a trip in such a way that you won't be able to be mekayev the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. And Rav Moshe is really being magbil, I would say. He's limiting the heter, the permissibility of going on a tiyul during the days of sukkahs. Let's read the language of Rav Moshe. You have it here. It's in Igros Moshe, or Chaim Chelek Gimel, Simon Tzadi Gimel. Ubidvar latzeis letiyul is anig bi alma lemakum shalohayelo sukkah mistaber lani yisdaiti shalasa deholchei drachim sheisa besugya hukshalholchim lemischar v'chayotze shehu tzorech mamish. So just to summarize so far what we saw in Rav Moshe, he's talking about the situation of going on a pleasure trip on sukkahs to a place where there won't be any sukkah accessible. In my humble opinion, Lanius Daiti says, Rav Moshe, this is forbidden. And the reason for this is that the travel is mentioned in the Gemara in Sukkah that reflects on a case of business, other situations where there's a strong need shu tzorech mamish. Then Rav Moshe adds another line. He says, V'gam hu l'chol adam. He says, this is true as, I guess you'd say, accepted practice. Bishvil ze ha'itzarch lotzeis gam mi beso. Aval etiul etainu bi'alma she'en lo zeshum tzorech eino klum. I guess he's talking about what's accepted in the way we live our lives. People leave their homes and go on trips for a need, but a pleasure trip is not considered necessary. Again, this is the approach of Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's a little bit odd that Rav Moshe sees it in this way. But I think we have to balance it with the fact that Rav Moshe doesn't want a person to forego the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah just simply for the sake of pleasure. You know, mitztar potim in a sukkah means someone suffering pain, he's exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah, again under a very strict circumstance. We have to discuss that later, but not to neglect the mitzvah of sukkah simply for the sake of enjoyment and pleasure. Rav Moshe also gives another reason for his psak halacha, and he's saying that we don't want to create any sort of a heter to eat outside the sukkah unless there's a pressing need for it. So the first argument of Moshe is that from the perspective of the mitzvah, the positive kiyum esei, why should we forgo kiyum esei for anything less than tsar, mitztayer potim in a sukkah, but not for the sake of tainug? And number two, Moshe says, from the perspective of eating outside the sukkah, to be mezalzel in that achila chutz, or outside the sukkah, just for the sake of pleasure, that's something that Rav Moshe finds objectionable. Now we're going to see a tshuva Rav Avad Yosef. I just want to point out that the language of the Mishnah Berurah in Taf Resh Mem Sifkat Lamites should be mentioned. He says the teshu came to do Ram Rachmana viyadua kisha adam dar bebeiso b'sharimos hashana eno nimna means does prevent himself milin soa liyeze inyan umeiniach es beiso v'kachu adin besukkah. It's not crystal clear where the Mishnah Berurah stands here in the machlokas about tiulim on sukkahs. Is he reflecting the Shita Rav Moshe? It's very hard to assume that he's reflecting the Shita Rav Moshe Feinstein here, because he says v'yaduk shadam darbe beis v'shar yimos shana eno nimna milin sol eiza inyan. I know the words leiza inyan sound like a very all-inclusive general term. It doesn't sound like he's limiting it dafka to schora where there's a pressing need. And again, if we focus on the Mishnah Berurah's definition of Teshuva came to Duro, Lachar, we should not make any distinction between a Tiyul for one purpose or going out for another purpose. There's always a Ptur of the Mitzvah of Sukkah. But Rav Moshe, as we said before, he doesn't want to explain, his argument is that we can't prevent a person from a Kiyum Mitzvah Sukkah just because of Shikulim, because of considerations that are a pleasure, a Tainug. That doesn't make any sense. It's not mitztayer min asukkah. So Rav Moshe's tshuva does ring a certain, you know, if we're honest about it, resonate with us in a certain element of truth, because why should we just forego a great mitzvah d'orais, which really defines the nature of the chag, it's called chag asukos, simply for the sake of pleasure? Mitztayer is something else, but the Gemara doesn't go ahead and say that you can just leave the sukkah. So a person should not be mafki himself from a kiyum mitzvah, even if he has some reason for that. And here we want to take a look at the tshuva of Rav Avad Yosef. Rav Avad Yosef's tshuva is in Yechaveh Das and Chelek Gimel, Mem Zayin. You all know that Rav Avad Yosef is a prolific writer of tshuvas, and he has so many different svarim, and even each one of the svarim has so many different volumes. In any event, the tshuva here of Yechaveh Das assumes a comparison between the mitzvah of sukkah and the mitzvah of tzitzis. Mi sheyotze l'tiyul l'shem tainug meshcha chag domo l'mi shemavakish liftar es atzmo mi mitzvah tzitzis al yidei ze sheino lovesh beget shel dalet kanfus. Look, you know, in order to be chay in the mitzvah of tzitzis, you have to wear a four-cornered garment. If you choose not to wear a four-cornered garment, then you set yourself up in a p'tur of the mitzvah of tzitzis. You didn't violate any isur, but on the other hand, you know, desiring to, you know, sideswipe and avoid the chiyuv and the possibility of being mekayim in the mitzvah of tzitzis, that's not something so admirable. And in effect, when you go out l'tiyul, you're also avoiding the chiyuv mitzvah. And the truth is that the Gemara establishes with regard to tzitzis that although a person doesn't have to wear a beged of dalad kanfas b'chol esu b'chol shah, you know, 24/7. But nevertheless, be'inah de rischa, you know, if there's a moment so to speak, divine anger against someone, then he'll be punished for not availing himself of a mitzvah. In this case, the mitzvah of tzitzis. We should also point out that in some cases, a tiyul is not just purely for pleasure. There may be some educational reason for it. There may be a family reason, you know, get the family together. And perhaps under those circumstances, Rav Moshe would agree that we don't prevent a person from being mekayim, you know, his need of tiyul. Again, it's not a tiyul for business purposes, but there are other purposes that might justify even Rav Moshe's frame reference to tiyul. And we could therefore apply the principle of Teshu came to do, even according to Rav Moshe, even in the case of Tiyul, in certain cases. The mitzvah of Sukkah is a continuous mitzvah for 7 days, and it's fulfilled by creating a Diras Arai, but it's a Diras Arai which is Keva for the 7 days. That's our dwelling place, and that's our designated home for the 7 days. And Chazal say that one should leave his diras keva and a biyoshev, and he should dwell in a diras aroi. That's the nature of the mitzvah. You know, if a person fulfills the mitzvah by setting up the sukkah as his home for 7 days, then that's what the Torah wants. I mean, the Torah also imposed on us not just the chiyuv of shivas yomim, tsemi diras keva v'shav v'diras aroi, but not only that, there is a chiyuv on the first night, which is derived from 2-2. Maybe we'll get a chance to discuss this later, how we derive this, that on the first night of Sukkot, we absolutely must sit in the Sukkah. That's immovable. You know, there's no room for tiyul for any sort to forfeit, to miss out on the mitzvah of the first night of eating a meal in the Sukkah. That's a definite chiyuv d'oraisa. And if a person is not in a sukkah, he's got to find the sukkah in order to fulfill the mitzvah on that night. But once we get beyond the first night of Sukkot, Leil Tesvav, and we are in the Shivas Yomim of Sukkot, then he's moved his house into the sukkah. And even if certain moments he's not located, he's not physically present in the sukkah, for example, he goes out on a tiyul, he goes out to David and Shul, he goes out to meet a friend, etc., etc., he nevertheless is mekayim the mitzvah, because again, he set up his sukkah as his dira for 7 days. That's I think the way we should define the mitzvah. So let me then, based on what we've been saying, formulate the following chakira. We could almost call it yeshivish chakira. When a person sets up his sukkah, he designates it as his house, as his dira for 7 days, is he mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah continuously for 7 days, even when he's outside of the sukkah? In other words, the ikar, the primary definition of the mitzvah and its obligation is to set up your dira as your home, and within that context, you live wherever you live in certain moments of the day, you're out of your home. Nevertheless, you are mekayim the mitzvah, or should we say no? That every single time he enters into the sukkah, he has a new kiyum mitzvah, but when he's outside the sukkah, he does not fulfill that mitzvah. If you go like the first tzad, that you have to set up your kviyus for 7 days in the sukkah itself, then even when he's outside the sukkah, then he's still being mekayim the mitzvah. In other words, one of the preconditions that the Torah sets to set up this dira as your kviyus for 7 days is that you begin the chag, you begin the leil tesvav with your achila suda, with the achila suda of leil rishon shel sukkos, and now for the remainder, for the balance of the chag, you are mekayim that mitzvah when you're eating outside the sukkah, because you're not able to get to a sukkah. But that's what you would also do when you eat outside your house. You still are maintaining that kiyum, the general kiyum of mitzvah sukkah, because you still have a diras keva in the sukkah. But that doesn't seem to be the way Rav Vadya Yosef understood in Yechaveh Das, as we saw before, his understanding is that when a person leaves the sukkah, he's not being mekayim the mitzvah. And therefore, he wants to discourage a person from going out on Tehillim as much as possible, because in doing so, he's being mafki himself from the mitzvah. If we if Rav Avad Yosef would have accepted our first definition, that there's a kind of a mitzvah klolis that's fulfilled during the entire course of the 7 days, even when he's eating outside the sukkah, because his sukkah remains his dearest keva, then why would Rav Avad Yosef discourage anyone from going out on a teal, the type of teal that he would normally pursue, even if it wasn't sukkahs the entire year? But if we go with the second definition, that the mitzvah doesn't extend for 7 days on a continuous basis simply because I set up my sukkah as my diras keva, so to speak, during those 7 days, but rather every time I eat in the sukkah, that is a new chiyuv and a new mitzvah of sukkah, and that would be reflected by the bracha that we recite. If that would be the havana, then we understand both from Moshe Feinstein and Rav Yosef, who are very skeptical about allowing you, very inhibited, shall we say, about allowing you to go out on a teal. And yeshli manami teulim l'shem onig bilvat. Because every single moment that you're eating is a new chiv sukkah. Why aren't you eating it in the sukkah? Oh, your answer is onig. Because you want to go out on a teal. That's not a justification. That's not serious enough. Now, there's a sefer called Ha'aris L'masechta Sukkah, where they quote Rav Yashiv, Zichron L'Vroch, at great length. And he had a much more liberal sort of take or psak with regard to Yitzil Etil on Chag HaSukkos, even for the sake of Tainug. He did not want to agree to the psak of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He thought that, again, we have to live in the sukkah in the same way we live in a house during the course of the year. So in other words, eating outside the sukkah from that perspective of Rav Yashiv is not an action that contradicts the designation of the sukkah for 7 days as his dwelling place. If you were to set up a fixed meal or sleep outside the sukkah, that would be a problem. But if you're leaving the sukkah on a very temporary basis because of your tiyul, that doesn't undermine what we call the yud or the hazmana of the sukkah, the designation of the sukkah for 7 days as your dira. But as we said before, Rav Avad Yosef sees this mitzvah in a different light, that during the course of 7 days, a person is obligated in sukkah continuously with regard to every single meal. And if a person goes on a trip, then he's mafki himself from the mitzvah of sukkah, and he will only be mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah when he returns to the sukkah. The same thing is true when a person goes davening, but again, he has to go daven, and he can't daven in the sukkah, so he davens outside the sukkah. Whatever he does to interrupt his presence in the sukkah, if he's not physically present in the sukkah, that removes his mitzvah of sukkah. That's how Rav Avadya understood it. So when a person leaves the sukkah and he's mafki himself for the mitzvah of sukkah, he suspends his mitzvah until he returns to the sukkah. What would be the heter to do such a thing if he's not going for davening or any other pressing need, but rather for the sake of tainuk? Now, in the case of Rav Moshe Feinstein, getting back to Igros Moshe for a split second, let's assume that the mitzvah is continuous for 7 days, like the first tzad in our chakira. And therefore, even when we leave the sukkah, the mitzvah is continuous and we're still fulfilling that mitzvah. Nevertheless, Rav Moshe postulates that it's still wrong to leave the sukkah unless there's good reason. Because there are two parts to the mitzvah of sukkah, I would say, according to Rav Moshe. There's the continuous kiyum mitzvah, be shevi altas, so to speak. And then there's the active fulfillment of the mitzvah, the kiyum mitzvah de maisa, by being physically present in the sukkah, by enjoying the sukkah, living in the sukkah, sleeping, eating in the sukkah. And that's something that you are forfeiting when you go on such a teal. Now again, Rav Moshe doesn't mention the fact that sometimes trips are scheduled on sukkahs, because that's simply the time that's available. And if you don't go out during Yom Tov, you're working the rest of the year, you have no other option to do so. And perhaps we can find a basis for this svara In the case of Hakozas Dam, believe it or not, this is a discussion in the Arzarua that's brought down in the Poskim. I'll read to you the language of the Arzarua, which you can find at the end of Simon Reish Tzadi Tess. He says, V'yesh b'nei Adam, shekshehen makizin dam b'moed, ochlin chutz l'sukkah. So we're talking about people who claim that they have to eat after they bloodlet, and therefore they're going to eat outside the sukkah. The Omrin, and this is what they say, Dologara, this is not worse, Michosh Bienov Oberosho, somebody who has eye pains or headaches is allowed to leave the sukkah because Mitztar Potem in a sukkah. Here too, I've got to eat after Hakosas Dam, that's no worse than Chosh Bienov Oberosho. Says the Arzarua, Betos who be Yodom, this is a mistake. The Ein Hanikas Chole, the person who is bloodletting, the victim, so to speak, he's not a sick person. You know, when we say that a Chole, Chosh Be'enov, etc., is part of an Asuka, it's because he's a Chole, it's a din of Chole. Chole equals Mitztayr. Here, there's no din of Mitztayr. Yel Adrabu Sameach. He's very happy. Umarve Besuda Bachilu Shtia, and he eats and he drinks a lot. And Vesu, and furthermore, he says, Havile Shalo Hoyolo, maybe Hoyolo Shalo Lahakis Bemoed Elakodem O Acharkein. No, there was no need for him to schedule his bloodletting during the holiday. He's got the rest of the year, another 51 weeks, to schedule his Akazas Dam. Yeah, I don't know how often, how frequently he sets up these appointments for Akazas Dam. Ela Vadai, here's the final word, according to the Arzarua, Hamekiz Chayav Lechol Besuka Vilishtospa Vilishonba Vilismachba. A person is obligated to eat in the sukkah, drink in the sukkah, sleep in the sukkah, be happy in the sukkah, even though he's a Mekiz Dam. And this is quoted by the Agos Ashri in the second parak of Sukkah, in Os Ches, and the Ramah, Paskins like this, Arzarua, and Sima Tafresh Mem, Sif Gimel. So what are we getting from this Arzarua? What we see from this Arzarua, and we want to discuss this, is that there's no need to schedule something Dafkan Sukkahs in order to leave the Sukkah and eat outside the Sukkah. If you could have just as easily have scheduled it at a different time. And it's clear from the Ramah, Misha maybe is Atzmu de Tsar Ali de Akosis Dam, and he has a certain suffering through Akosis Dam, is the Ofen Shayachal Lakis Dam Kodim Ali Achra Moed, there was no reason pressing to schedule it during the Moed, is Eino Niftar Bekachmi Mitzvah Sukkah. Who says that he's part of an Asukkah? Goram es atzvo, he really brought upon himself to be mitzvah. You know, chole is in that situation whether he likes or not, it's thrust upon him. But in a case where you decided that you want to be make his dam, that was your decision, and you want to create a situation of mitzvah for yourself, that's your problem. That doesn't exempt you from the mitzvah sukkah. Schedule it at a different time. And if we apply the logic of the Arzarua to our case of someone who goes on a Chol HaMoed, on a Tiyul, in such a way, I mean, in a situation where he could have easily have scheduled that holiday, that trip, that Tiyul at a different time, then there should be no Ptur of Teshuv came to do because he's Mevius Atzmo Lios Mitztayer. And we're going to see that the Psak of the Arzarua has sort of repercussions or reverberates in the later postgame. And remind me to mention to you the Magen Avraham in Tafresh Mem. But before that, I just want to mention another thing over here. We have a case of an Avel. An Avel is also suffering. Obviously, this is a situation that's thrust upon him. These are causes that are out of his control. And yet the Gemara establishes in Sukkah Daf Chaf Hei that he's chayiv in the Sukkah. And the Gemara's language is Iboilele Yisuve Daite, that he has to sort of calm himself down, if you will, straighten out his head, and fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. And certainly, we should apply that according to the Arzaruah to the case of bloodletting, because they had the option of setting up the bloodletting at a different time. They could have chosen to leave it for after the Chag. So basically, just to summarize the Arzaruah, and then we'll see how the Magen Avraham applies that, it would seem that the Arzaruah is really offering two different reasons why the make his dam is still obligated to sit in Sukkah. On the one hand, he says he's not really a choleh, that we saw. And number two, he should have scheduled the Hakazas dam for a different time. The second reason would seem to apply whenever he's not a choleh, because again, a choleh can't be expected to reschedule his choli, but wherever there's a possibility of rescheduling, then the Arzaruah second reason would kick in, and there's no Ptur Sukkah. The Arzaruah applies the logic of the Magen Avraham applies the logic of the Arzaruah in a case of someone who drinks a mashka mishalshel besukkah, some sort of a laxative, and he establishes that you're still obligated to sit in the sukkah. He says, "Afal pishem itztayer harbe mikomakom chayav besukkah." David lasos kodem achag oliachrov lochein lo yasenu b'moed. So he's applying the second reasoning of the Arzaruah. There's not a situation that's thrust upon you, that's compelled upon you. Who asked you to schedule this during the Chag? So if he's in a situation of danger, then the Magen Avraham certainly says that he's potim in a sukkah, but we're not talking about a situation of danger, and therefore he's chayiv in the sukkah. The problem here is, we made a big deal about this Arzaruah. It's quoted in the Rush, and we saw his logic reverberating and expressing itself in both the Rambam and the Magen Avraham. But the truth be told, that the Rishonim, as a general rule, do not quote this. They don't mention this Arzaruah, and many of the Gedolei HaPoskim don't bring down this Arzaruah, and the omission itself seems to indicate that it wasn't accepted. And that's the impression you get from the Taz here in Tafresh Mem Sivkot and Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah and Sivkot and Yud Beis. But if we would accept the Arzaruah, then going on a Tiyul on Chol Hamoed is problematic, because you could have scheduled before or after Sukkos, unless again, some trips, like we said earlier, are difficult to schedule outside of Chol Hamoed. Chol Hamoed is the perfect time to go for a Tiyul, and that's exactly what people do in this country. But, so again, if there are trips that couldn't be rescheduled, certainly we should apply the logic of the Arzaruah and the Magen Avraham. But trips that are difficult to reschedule, that even according to the Arzaruah and the Magen Avraham, should be mutter. So Rav Moshe Feinstein is true vinegar's Moshe, doesn't bring down this logic about the fact that in a sense he's brought upon himself the mitztayer. That's far is not mentioned in Rav Moshe's tshuva. But perhaps we want to clarify one point, that maybe traveling on Sukkos and the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah somehow are related one to the other. I'll try to explain as we go along. For our halachic discussion, we've been assuming our premise, the motivation for this whole conflict in our mind is the assumption that there's a conflict between traveling and sitting in sukkah. Those are mutually exclusive. But maybe we can in some sense integrate them. What I mean to say is, suppose I offer you, let's say I'm a moreh derech, I'm a tour guide, and I could offer you two different options. I could offer you one option in which you could travel, enjoy your tiyul, but you forfeit the mitzvah of sukkah. I can offer you another option in which you travel to a place where there's a restaurant, there's a hotel, you can avail yourself of a sukkah. And you would definitely be chayav to avail yourself in the sukkah, but the advantage here is that you can have your cake and eat it, so to speak, pardon the pun. But what I mean to say is that you've got an option of fulfilling the mitzvah sukkah and traveling. You don't have to forego on the mitzvah of sukkah. You're close to home, and you can come back to sleep at night in the sukkah. Okay, so these are, whether it's the hotel option or whether it's close to home option, these are options for traveling and nevertheless fulfilling the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. He's not going far from his house, and in such a case, he would certainly have to come back to his house and sleep in the sukkah. He could not just say, well, I want to sleep outside the sukkah. And the reason for this is Teishu came to Dur. When a person, during the rest of the year, is close to his home, he's not that far, he, generally speaking, wouldn't sleep outside his house. He would be makbid to give himself enough time at night to get back to his house to go to sleep. And the same thing should apply in sukkah. If he's close enough to his house, then he has to go, he's got to get back to his sukkah in time to eat. Now, there's an interesting chiddush in one of the Rishonim. It's a Rishon that's not quoted all that frequently, but it's on Sukkah, and that's the Sefer HaMichtam. And he's quoted also by the Ramah. The Sefer HaMichtam in Sukkah Chavav, and our Sugya writes, Yesh Lomash Shaholchim B'Kfarim, now there's those who are traveling in through villages, and he's talking about going through villages in order to collect debts during Chol Hamoed. People owe money. They are obligated to return to their homes at night in order to sukkim yesh im ein sukkah ba'osair. What does he mean when he says im ein sukkah ba'osair, meaning he's in a village and there's no accessible sukkah in that village? He's got to come home and sleep in his own house. And now the Sefer HaMichtam is not totally convinced, you know, he vacillates. He says, afal pi sheyesh makom lebal din lachlok, he says, I admit that, you know, one could argue against me, but hamachmir tovolav bracha. He says, at the end of the day, one should follow the more strict approach and guarantee that he gets back home for a yeshiva besukkah, for a yeshena besukkah. So in other words, even though he admits that strictly according to the din, there's reason to exempt you from the mitzvah of sukkah, nevertheless, since he can get back home from the close location of that village, that's minaroi, that's what he should really do. He should not exempt himself from the mitzvah sukkah. And the Ramah quotes this Sefer HaMichtam in Shulchan Aruch, that although there's room to exempt a person who's traveling even at night, but the principle of halacha is that if he's able to come home at night and sit in his sukkah, that's exactly what he has to do. And it seems quite clear that holchei drachim, that with regard to a traveler, lemakom sheish bo sakana, if he were to sit in a sukkah and there would be an element of danger, no, on the contrary, let's take the following scenario first. We can talk about something else, but let's say a man finds himself in a makom sheish bo sakana. He's traveling and he's in a dangerous area. Is in such a case, I'm sorry, I read it wrong. Not b'makom sheyesh bo sakana, but b'makom sheyesh bo sukkah. Okay, I switched the letters here. So in such a case, he's chayev, he's obligated to sit in sukkah because he's got a sukkah that's accessible. The question is, one of, you know, what's the barometer here? What's the litmus test? You know, when do we say that he has to put in that tircha to find a sukkah? As to what effort does he have to extend himself to find a sukkah, to make a sukkah accessible to him? Or to what extent do we say that this is already over the hill? It's too much tircha, it's too much of an effort for him to find, and he could apply the principle of teshvu ke'en taduru. So really, I think this question of tircha to find a sukkah, which becomes very relevant now in the light of our discussion of the michtam. You know, you're out on a tiyul, and you're not going that far, but how far do you have to go in order to get yourself into a sukkah? I think this would depend upon how you understand mitztayer potim in a sukkah. Is mitztayer a description of the sukkah itself, or is mitztayer a description of the person? You know, at some point, if it's a big, big tircha, you know, you have to travel for hours to get to your sukkah, that could be mitztayer as far as the gaver is concerned. Or do we say that mitztayer is really in the heft of the sukkah? It's raining, it's hot, there are mosquitoes, etc., etc. In those cases, the sukkah is not a sukkah ra'uya li'yeshiva because it requires so much, I don't know if the word tircha is applicable, but it would be uncomfortable to be in the sukkah. Then we talk about the hafkah of teshvu ken taduru. But to get yourself into a wonderful sukkah, a comfortable sukkah, and you have to travel, maybe that's like any other mitzvah. There's no din of mitztayer potim min hatfilah, or min hatfilin, or anything else. You know, maybe a big hassle to travel to borrow someone's tefillin under certain circumstances doesn't mean that you're potter. There's no din of mitztayer potter in other cases. The mitztayer is a description of the sukkah, which is a mitzvah of yeshiva, and the mitztayer situation undermines that kind of yeshiva, which is ke'en dira. Now, at the outset, I mentioned that we want to raise the following question: does a person have to build a sukkah in order to sleep in the sukkah at night if he's on a tiyul? I mean, the brice that we started with in Sukkah Chavav, Holchei Drachim Bayom, Chayovim B'Sukkah B'Laila, is one way of understanding that, is to say that the travelers are Chayiv in Sukkah B'Laila, even if it means they have to build their own sukkah, and that we'll soon see is the Shitas HaMe'iri. And the Beis Yosef doesn't quote the Me'iri, but he quotes the Archas Chayim, Holchei Drachim Bayom, Chayov B'Sukkah B'Laila, Chayov B'Laila, Rak B'Makom Yishuv, Shalom B'Makom Yishuv, Ein Aleihem Sukkah. Now, do you get the impression from the Beis Yosef, the name of the Archas Chayim, that he's talking about a well-populated area, and there's no problem for him to getting access to a sukkah? However, the Me'iri goes much further than that. He's not just saying, find an accessible sukkah that already exists, but Chova live no sukkah. The Me'iri's language is that he's obligated to build a sukkah. In other words, he can't, you know, fall back on the position, well, there's no sukkah available to sleep in or to eat in at night. It's therefore the nafkamina is that according to the Me'iri, if he ends up on this tiyul, sleeping at night in a makom she'en bo yishuv, in other words, there's no one around, there's not a sukkah in sight or in any proximity, let's say within a radius of who knows what, then there's a chalos chiyuv to build a sukkah in order to fulfill the mitzvah yeshiva of a sukkah. That's the Me'iri. However, although the Me'iri presents this as a thesis, he himself, the Me'iri himself, rejects this thesis, and he says, Ein sham chiyuv el b'yesham sukkah b'mokum chanayosam, lo shiyu chayovim laso sukkah, little mitchila, v'chein aminuk. Now, it's the Me'iri's own opinion is that there's no obligation to build a sukkah in such a case, where he stops and he goes to sleep at night. He's only obligated to sit and sleep in a sukkah if he finds one, if there is one in the yishuv, but to build a sukkah, eino bon el yatzmo, he's not chayv to build it for himself, and he compares to the case of a person who's out traveling, and he left his house during the rest of the year, he wouldn't normally build for himself a separate house, you know, so he'll have a place to sleep at night on his trips. And that's the machlokas here between the Me'iri and the first day of the Me'iri. And this machlokas reverberates throughout the poskim. For example, the Levush reflects that shita the maskana of the Magen Avraham Lekula. There's no chiv to build the sukkah at night. That's according to the Levush of Mordechai Yaffe. But the Magen Avraham in Tafresh Mem Si'if Katan Tesvav is chayiv hanoseh livnos yatzu sukkah belayla. That a person who's traveling has to build for himself a sukkah at night. Now, I want to point out the Chaye Adam, that's in Kuf Mem Zayin, Mem Beis, he himself passes like the Levush, and he says, Holchei Drachim don't generally spend their night building, what's his language, building a house. And therefore, Teishu came to Duru, you're potter from Sukkah. The Mishnah Berurah actually paskins Lekula, like the Levush, and the Chaye Adam, and therefore you're not chayav to build a sukkah at night. However, the Mishnah Berurah makes one qualification. If let's say you're going to be in that place for more than just one night, it's hard to say exactly how long you're going to be there. Let's just say in a sort of general sense, he'll be there for a few days, then you have to build a sukkah. You know, it comes to the point where your original bias is no longer your bias, it's no longer your diras keva for the 7 days. You now have a new diras keva, mokum diras keva. Now, we mentioned that according to Magen Avraham, l'chumra, a person is required to build a sukkah at night. However, even according to the Magen Avraham, if a person is on a business trip, and now it's time for seudas erev, it's time for dinner, and there's no sukkah available, he's allowed to eat. In other words, he doesn't have to go hungry and starve himself. You know, until he finds the time to build the sukkah, you know, this man, the dinner time will have long been over, he doesn't have to be mar'iv at atzmo, he doesn't have to starve himself. Now, according to the Mishnah Berurah, the language of the Ramah also would indicate the psak, the position of the Levush and the Chaye Adam. And the Shulchan Aruch, when he says that Holchei Drachim Bayom Chayom B'Sukkah B'Layla, the Ramah writes that that only applies where there's a sukkah to be found. If there's no sukkah to be found, then even at night the Holchei Drachim Apatur, when they go to sleep at night, it doesn't sound like the Ramah is requiring us to build a sukkah. Now, let's take a different case, which may be comparable to our discussion. Here's a situation that's addressed by the Ramah, and you can find the Ramah in Siman Tafresh Mem. This is based on the Trumas Hadeshin. The case of this Ramah is where you have a sukkah, and it's Shabbos of Sukkos, and the Neros Shabbos went out. So now he's literally sleeping in black darkness. The Ramah, in such a case, says there's no chiyuv to stay in the sukkah. You're allowed to move into the house, but that's not the real chiddush. He says, go find another sukkah. Maybe your friend has a sukkah, and the Ramah paskins, if it's a tircha to go and find your friend's sukkah, then you're potter in this case. Again, it's not clear what the level or the degree of tircha, of inconvenience, in the barometer, we reached boom, and now we're saying he's exempt from the mitzvah of finding his friend's sukkah. But perhaps, again, we'd have to compare it to one's own home. How far would you go if you couldn't sleep in your own home to try to get your friend's home? So if in the rest of the year, when it's not sukkahs, you wouldn't want to go into your friend's home, then so too in sukkah, you wouldn't want to go into your friend's home. And in that case, under those circumstances, the Ramah says you're potter from going to your friend's home. So the Shabbos candles went out, you go to your house and fartuk an asek. Again, this is very strange because we thought that mitzvah potter from the sukkah is a din in the Heftzah Shel Sukkah and the Yeshiva Ba, We didn't think it was a din in the Gavra. And moreover, I would think that if you don't have a house to sleep in, you're not going to be so eager to sleep, you know, in the streets or, I don't know, put up a tent for overnight sleeping. You'd probably go to another house. Maybe instead of your friend's house, you'd go to a hotel, a motel. So I don't know how that applies in the case of Sukkah. If it's Teshuva we came to do, I certainly want to, you know, to go from house to house, to sleep in a house, meaning from Sukkah to Sukkah, even if there's some Tirch involved. But let's see if we can come to some general sort of overview or conclusion regarding Tehillim on Sukkahs. It would seem that technically, according to the strict Ikar HaDin, Mutar Latzeis L'Tehillim B'Sukkahs, we're allowed to go out, even if it involves eating or sleeping outside the Sukkah. We found that explicitly with regard to Parnassa, going on business trips, and it's very possible that the Din is identical for any Tehillim. One thing was quite clear, that we can compare business trips to Tehillim in the case of Tehillim that are pursued for the purpose of education or for family reasons, that would certainly be allowed. So it's not just financial loss. Let's say, for example, I was, for medical reasons, the doctor says I got to get out, you know, on a Tehillim. So that would again be similar to Parnassa, and even if I know there's no Sukkah, I would be allowed to eat outside the Sukkah. If, on the other hand, I'm going to a place, a Tehillim, where there's a Sukkah available, somewhere b'sviva in the neighborhood, just that there's some tircha, some inconvenience involved. For example, if he has to come back to his own house, that's a bit of a trip. If he has to go into his friend's Sukkah, that's a bit of an inconvenience. Nevertheless, it would seem from the poskim that at night, there is a chiyuv of dira b'sukkah. However, if the tircha is very, very meruba, you know, he's really far away from his house, or, you know, go find a friend's sukkah, then he's pot. So that seems to be an adequate or a precise definition of what we've seen until now. So a person should expand the same amount of energy and inconvenience that he would do normally during the rest of the year to find a place for him to sleep or to eat. The same thing applies to Sukkah. If you've reached that level of tircha, which even with regard to your own house, you would be mashkia, you would put in that amount of effort the rest of the year, then that's exactly what you have to do on Sukkah. So you have to be very honest and precise about evaluating the particular circumstances, especially when you're going out on a trip just for pleasure alone, and there is no pressing need to go. You have to ask yourself the question whether or not you could put in some effort to find a sukkah to eat in. Again, this whole concept of comparing it to one's home is a little bit vague. It's a little ambiguous. We're not sure precisely how to define it. You know, it's certainly people would sleep away from home, even if home is near. For example, in a hotel. So now, do we have a right to say that the hotel is like going from one house to another? It's like going from one sukkah to another, and therefore the fact that he would sleep out of his house, even if he were close to his house in a hotel, is irrelevant. You know, if he's not living in this sukkah, find himself another sukkah. But perhaps we want to set up a situation where you're moving from your house to a different house, which is not a desirable house. You know, it's only a sukkah type of house. And, you know, what trouble would a person be prepared to go to in order to go from one undesirable home to another undesirable home? You know, if he's going to a preferred comfortable house or a hotel, that's one thing, but that's not really a yardstick to compare to the case of Sukkahs. All right, this is what we have so far. I think we pretty much thoroughly covered the topic. I mean, there's always room for more, But we mentioned a few of the main poskim and the main tshuvas, the Gedolia poskim. And I want to wish you all a Chag Kosher Sameach, a Chag Sukkah Sameach. You should try as much as you can, obviously, to expand and fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah, make the Sukkah beautiful and comfortable. But I wouldn't say that therefore you have to be confined to your Sukkah like you're incarcerated in a jail for 7 days. You got to do what you got to do. And in certain cases, you're going to go on a tiyul, and it might even mean that there's no sukkah available without a great deal of tircha, and you'll eat outside the sukkah. Okay, stop. Cold.